know, going over this and listening, not only to number two, but from the very first time we started listening to the Torah portion and going over it, and just so many things has come to light. And, you know, it came to light because of grace. It came to light because God, in His great mercy, cared so much. You know, if the world was in a shape it was in by chapter 6 of Genesis, you look around today and it's just unreal. There's no shame. There's no consideration. You know, there was a time of people got around Christians. They even watched what they said. You don't find that anymore. It's like there's just, it's like that we're in a world of who cares. But you know, in the last few months, I've learned how to just trust God. I've seen things that I hadn't seen before. I've understood things I hadn't understood before. And a few weeks ago, I was on my way to Baton Rouge, and, you know, in all the time of travel, day after day and week after week, I'm sitting in my truck and I'm traveling on the interstate, and, you know, it's so awesome to have those and suddenly moments where God just slips in. His Spirit just slides up next to you. But I was asked this question by the Spirit. Do you want to be the church or a church? And I couldn't answer the question without asking a question. I said, well, Lord, what's the difference? He said, the church already exist. But to be a church, you got to be different. See, the church is who messed it up. Because we failed to go into God's word to really get the true meaning and understanding of what God's saying and how to serve Him. Can't just get up one morning and decide you're going to go to church and serve God. You got to be drawn by the Spirit, and it's got to be through the Son. But see, the church, you can do that. But to be a church, you got to stick out. You got to be willing to be different. You got to be willing to go against the grain. And something happened the first part of this week. I was out and I got asked this question by the Spirit, you know, when I was, my wife had the schedule and she called me. I was on my way down the road a while ago and she said, hey, you got service tonight. I said, okay. See, you don't have to fear not knowing until just a few hours before if you're doing a service or not, if you stay in here. This will get a hold of you. It'll grab a hold of you, and it'll begin to rule and reign in your life. I can tell you that my day don't get far gone if I rush out the house and I fail to turn my phone on or my iPad on and listen to the Torah portion. It ain't long through the day that something reminds me, hey, didn't you miss something this morning? So you got to take time. And sometimes it requires training ourselves. See, something happened this, the first part of the week. I went out and we made a set. And I had Rob and Brother James with me. And we had a pretty decent set. But how many have ever seen a 1,200-foot net full of jellyfish? We had one. Of course, my two deck hands weren't too happy. So I dealt with it. I gave one the cork line and the other one the lead line, and I started pulling webbing. To see, we could be a fish with a backbone, or we're going to be a jellyfish. We're going to be one or the other. I remember parts of the net. You know, I grabbed the webbing and I just squeeze it, and that jellyfish would just start breaking apart and go right through the webbing. And it was a bunch of little pieces just floating in the water. And that's what happened with the church. How sad it is to stand before God and He wanted to know why we were jellyfish. You know why there's so much division in the church? Because we get squeezed through the net. You see, you can't take a mullet or a redfish or a fish with a backbone and just grab it and squeeze it through the net. You got to pull it through one of the meshes. It takes a little more effort. It takes a little more time. Because it's solid. And it's firmly put together. And let me tell you something. We as a church, we as God's chosen people, because listen, from the very beginning of this reading to the end, we're only here by grace. I've had so many encounters just all alone, traveling back and forth. You know, I never understood how real His presence can be, like I've been understanding it over the last few months, because He just shows up. Nobody else is around. Listen, we can fill this church. All you got to do is just start having revivals where people slain in the spirit, and you start doing what you used to do. You start having those feel-good moments. Listen, there ain't a better feel-good moment you'll ever had. There's just the time that it's just you and God and nobody else around. Because that'll keep you. That'll keep you and let you know what you need to say. How to say it, when to say it, and why to say it. You know, I've never heard so much complaining in all my life. And I never understood why on the first day, when people started getting into their homes, God said, go. And I showed up in Baton Rouge. But there's been, over the last few months, there's been times that it was one-on-one. I told AJ the other day, I was talking to him on the phone. I said, I've done more preaching in the last 3 months than I ever done in my life. Said it wasn't a big congregation. Sometimes it was only one. Sometimes it was two or three. See, I could only help people the way I know how. And that's in God. Because I know no other way. I don't know no other way to help somebody. We could only help them is what in what God teaches us. And I had a chance to share with somebody. They was complaining about stuff they lost and about who's going to be first on a list and who's going to do this or who's going to do that. I said, hold up, let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever thought that there's somebody that's in worse shape than you're in? I said, did you ever sit down and think about the families that don't have that loved one that drowned in the flood to say, I love you anymore? They don't have that loved one that drowned in a flood to come up to them and hug them anymore. Have you ever thought about that? There's somebody that's hurting worse than you are. You see, there was a time that I wouldn't have been led by the Spirit. There was a time, I'm talking about in my, what most people call Christian walk. I'd have just said what I wanted to say. See, when we start seeing and understanding the Word of God for what it is. Listen. I was thinking about this. Just you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? And I said, Lord, I'm only going to say what you tell me to say, what you allow me to say. But you know what? We need to come to a realization that we need to quit taking man's word for what this book says and start getting in it ourselves. Start spending time in it ourselves. Because you know why? God had to separate us from the things we were doing. Because for years we took it so lightly. We took it as a jellyfish and we got squeezed through the net. And we came out in pieces. We weren't even a whole jellyfish anymore. We were a piece of one. You see, I thank God that when we grab a hold of who he is, he begins to build a backbone. And you can't just grab a fish with a backbone and just grab the web and say, I'm going to squeeze it out, because it's not happening. But I'm telling you, I just as I was doing it, I just done it. Every time something got stuck, you know, it got caught in a web and it wouldn't go. So I just grab it and squeeze it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. My life used to be that way. My walk with God used to be that way. But God, give me a backbone. Give me something that's sturdy. Give me something that's firm that I could stand on your word. And I'm not going to be broken pieces anymore. Listen to me. We can look around, and not everybody's getting this. You know, I had a chance to talk with Maynard when he was down, and we began to talk about the Torah portion, how powerful it is, how real the Word of God's becoming to us. And I had a chance several times just to sit down and talk with AJ about how real God is, how awesome he is, and how amazing it is just to serve him and come to a realization that we can be who God wants us to be. But we got to want it. You know, I'll never be who God wants me to be if I just come to church and sit here and just listen to the preaching. But I got to grab a hold of it, even when it don't taste good, and I got to chew it up and I got to swallow it. Even when it seems like it ain't been cooked too tender, sometimes you just got to chew it up and swallow it and let it become a part of who we are. We have to be willing to allow God's word to change us. You see, whether you're a jellyfish or a fish with a backbone, you have an effect on people. See, I was the one working the webbing. I was the one with all this stuff. And when I finished, I had welts on my arms from the burning. I told my wife, I said, a good thing I'm old and tough. I said, because those young guys couldn't handle it. But it had an effect. Even though it was breaking apart, Even though you squeezed it and you looked in the water and it was in pieces, it had an effect. It wasn't a pleasant effect. And see, sometimes what we do, the outcome of a situation, it has an effect on people. The real question is, are we having a jellyfish effect? Are we having a good effect of a fish? Listen, they said something about they making medicine with that stuff now, about your memory or something. So, well, I'll never forget nothing because I had so much of that stuff all over me. If it got in my system, I'll never forget nothing. See, I looked at them things for 1,200 foot of that net for several hours. And I kept looking at them, and I don't think I'd ever want to eat one. But you know what? Most fish with a backbone, you can get your knife and clean it. You can cook it and eat it. It has an effect on you. No, do we still want to continue to stay in pieces? Or do we want God to gather us together and be firm? You know, somebody said something about, I told AJ this, he said, you know, about the holidays, with all these holidays coming up, and people says, well, you know, I don't have nothing to do. I said, you know, without a feast days and everything we've been doing at the church, we've been having a lot to do. It's been awesome. It's been fun. It's been enjoyable. You know, you get people at your house, and for the holidays we used to do, I ain't ever cooked so much like we do now. Look, you cook a good meal, people that don't even like you will come over. They'll pretend they like you. But that's good. You get a chance to share the realness of God's word with them and get rid of that jellyfish effect. See, we got to understand that it's all right here. I don't think I think at some point in my traveling, this the first week. How long I've been going to Baton Rouge? Since the flood. This the first week that I hadn't been back in a week. So every now and then people calls, did you forget about us? Where I'm at on your list. Just calm down. Go hold hands with your wife somewhere else. Leave from your house that ain't finished. And go someplace else and quit looking at it. Because in the end, it's going to be better than when you started. I had a guy call me, said, I don't know how you're doing it. All you got to do is to be obedient to God. You see, it's not as much about fixing houses. It's about doing ministry. I'm telling you, I talk to people that I'd have never had the opportunity to share the realness of God with them. And I got a phone call. The group that was here, what was Eric? Eric's group from Michigan. I hadn't had a chance to call Brother Brian yet to tell him. But there was such a spiritual effect on the family that they worked with. They called and said, it's so amazing. So not only was the work they done awesome, but they left an effect on us spiritually that we hadn't had in a long time. And they just, the realness, they started talking about how real God was in their life. You know, and that's what it's about. You got to see the realness of God in people's life. But you see, if I never get into His Word, life. I never have the answers to the questions. The answer, every question that you'll ever be asked, the answer's right here. All we got to do is get it. If you always answer through God's word, you'll never go wrong. You know, I told people, I shared with somebody, they kept on asking and asking, you know, when's my turn? When you coming to my house? So let me explain something to you. I said, right now, it's not about the church. So there's a community out here that's hurting, and it's time for the church to reach out. I said, do you realize after Hurricane Katrina, there was 37 houses rebuilt in our community before we done the first person in our church? I said, but when it got to our turn, God began to just put things in order. Things began to fall in place. I was on a phone with Pastor Lorton, and he called me up about one of the guys calling him. I said, Pastor Lorton, just tell him patience is a virtue. And he just bust out laughing. I said, just tell him. I don't know what else to say. Patience is a virtue. See, it's been amazing just to see the hand of God. But you know, if we are not careful, whether we're in church or not. You know, my most complaining has come from church people. And I had one lady. We heard about her. And I said, just give her my phone number and tell her to call me. And it took about 4 or 5 days, and finally she called. She said, I can't accept help from you because I don't go to church. And I said, Lord, what happened? Somewhere, someplace, some church person made her feel like she can't take help from church people. I said, lady, it don't matter. I never asked you if you go to church. And I took AJ over to our house, and the day that AJ and Leanne was here, we went over to the house and we looked around, and AJ said, we want to do this one. And after he made that statement, I began to share with him what happened on the way home. And I said, you know, when we're done, not because of what we do, but because of the God that lives in us, we got to do this in such a way that because of the God that we're sharing, she's going to want to go to church. She's going to want to make her life, get her life right. See, that's what it's about. People has got to see God in us. You know, there's people, I got phone calls from people. Well, what are you doing? We want to come and help. We with this group and this group. I said, well, everything I'm doing is volunteer. That's when you find out how much they really want to help, because they never call back. You see, you got to be willing at the appointed time. You know, I made this statement just the other day. I said, you know, in the last 3 weeks that I was there, I hadn't done a whole lot of work. But it's like somebody will just walk up and they'll just start talking and they'll ask a question. You know, if you're obedient to God's Spirit, all it takes is one word. You got to listen for that key word, and it opens up the door. How many of you remember the service I preached about the door being cracked open? See, what that key, if you listen to that key word, it opens up the door just enough where you can get your foot in it and kick it open. And then you start sharing the love of God with them. But it's all about timing. It's all about when God has that person ready to receive what you're going to say. And that's what it's all about, is being who God wants us to be and being willing to have a backbone and stand up for what the Word of God says. I'm talking about no matter who it is, where they from, or how long you've known them, or if you've just met them, we got to be willing to stay what God's Word says, no matter who they are. Because the truth of God's Word is what's going to set people free. The truth of what God says. You know, there's not 20 different ways to get saved. There's only one way, and that's through the Son. The only way to the Father is through the Son. And then we got to follow what the Son did. Once we go through that door of the Son, the Son's the door to the Father. And once we go through that door, we got to look back at the Son, and we got to follow what He did. And our goal, our aim in life has to be that we're willing to please our Father. See, sometimes we got to come to a realization in our life that our Father's our Father. You know, my kids will come in my house and they can do things that other people can't. Of course, I notice lately if they did come two or three times and they think they are kids and they just do the same thing our kids do. They just go get them something out of the icebox. They just go to the stove and get them something to eat. But you see, that's the kind of relationship we have to have with God. When I get hungry, I can open up this book and I can eat all I want. But in this position, I got asked several times where I got this. Come from Foley, Alabama. Everybody asks because it's got three ducks on it. I don't know what kind they are. They got three ducks. But see, in this position, no matter how many people ask you where you got that, man, that's a nice Bible. It will never do me a bit of good. It'll never do nobody any good in this position. It could lay there and be pretty. You could wipe it off and keep it shiny. But when you open it up, you start partaking of it. It's no different than going to your house. You cook the best meal of your life and cover up your pot and leave it sitting on a stove. But until you get your spoon and a plate and go serve yourself, it won't do you no good. You can walk in all day and talk about how good it smells. Man, it smells so good in here. Look, all you got to do is start browning onions and seasoning and it smells good. But that onions and seasoning ain't going to taste no good till you put some meat in it. See, having your Bible closed is kind of like just browning the seasoning. It looks good and it smells good. But until you put some meat in it. And that's what happens when we open it up. We start partaking of the meat of God's Word. It's time that we get off the milk. You know, I tell my mom all the time, she's got a couple boys, that it's time to be weaned. You know, you're 40 years old, it's time to go. Move on. Of course, you get in trouble when you say that about the baby. That's okay. See, sometimes spiritually we got to be weaned. We got to start eating some meat. Get you some strong bones and some muscles. I had a deckhand. They said, "Why are you taking him, Rob?" He's young and strong. God, I don't care if he can pull a fish out the net. I just need somebody that can pull the net in the boat. See, I can't do that like I used to. course, the last few days I was by myself. But you just make it work. See, there was a time I would always go by myself, but now I kind of look for a deckhand. I need somebody to help. And it's just like serving God. You know, we might come to a point in God's word that it might kind of get us, and we just need a little bit of help. Go to somebody. And I pick on Brother Josh. I said, go ask Pastor what he's doing. Tell him it's time to start. I ain't going to tell him that. I said, come on, man. That's your job. You the one starting. You got to go tell him, hey, it's time to start. The first time I told him, when Pastor said, start service on time, I said, go start. Pastor ain't here. I said, well, he said it's time to start. Go start. Oh, no, I'm waiting. He was scared. Said, I'm telling you, Pastor said start on time. So he didn't feel comfortable till Pastor told him. Look, if you get hung up, get some help. You know, that's what church is about. We need to start help, being willing to help one another. But I can't help you if I don't know the need. You know, I'll go look at houses and AJ will call me and say, okay, what about this one, and this one? I had one guy ordered, well, he didn't go buy it, he called me first. I had him getting twice as much sheetrock. Said, I told y'all I ain't a contractor. I figured out for the whole house, he only needed half the house. So one thing about it, you'd had enough. I said, but if I call you and tell you you need 90 sheets of sheetrock, check it before you go buy it. Because I'm a commercial fisherman, I'm not a contractor. Now, if AJ tells you you need 90 sheets, go get 90 sheets. Because that's what you need. So just, let's start working together. And when we need help, quit trying to do it on our own. You know, let's find somebody that can help us. But also, on the other hand, let's be willing, when that person comes, to be willing to help. But remember, the best answer is going to come out of here. We can never go wrong if we give the answer that God says give. But if I never open it up, I forgot how many. I think from here to Bell Chase, on your phone, you could probably listen to Matthew. I can. So that means Pastor could probably listen to Matthew and half of another book. When I was really busy, I could tell you how many books of the Bible I could listen to making a set of nets. It's like 3 or 4. You know, that's a lot of word, and you're working. You say, well, listening to it ain't the same. Listen to me. There's times that I'll sit in church and pastor say something, and I remember not long ago I just heard that. Or somebody else will say something, and I remember not long ago I just heard that. You can go through the whole Bible with CDs if you just play it while you're working in way less than a year. Or while you're driving. As much as I've been driving, I could probably listen to it and get it in a couple months. But I'm asking you just to keep praying for the people, all those that has been flooded, because God's doing a work. You know, not everybody's getting it. But I had the opportunity last Saturday My wife and I drove up there. And the Lord just laid it on my heart really heavy to call a couple. And I called them. I said, hey, meet me here. We was out standing out in the front of a barn. And I just really got the drive home how important it is just to trust God. You in a place, go with God. But listen, these people were patient. They were humble. And something happened while Eric and them was here. They ended up working at this couple's house an extra day. And I just, you know, they called me. They said, what we need to do? I said, do what God tells you to do. Don't matter what I think. You just be, you know, I understand you working in people's house. Be led by the Spirit no matter what you're doing. And I told them, I said, look, you've been humble and you've been patient. Just continue to thank God and keep that right heart attitude and keep that spirit going. Keep that humble spirit before God. And you're going to see what God's going to do. Said, it wasn't nothing I done. I said, they called me and I told them, I'm not making that decision. Do what God says. Because if I'd have said, move on to the next house, they'd have left. That's not what God wanted. See, in everything we do, we got to be led by the Spirit. Everything. It's so important to be led by God's Spirit. Because it affects people. And the only effect I want to have on people's life is that when we're done, they want to serve God more than they ever did. Because that's what it's about. It's not about me. It's not about none of the team showing up. It's about who God is. Let's all stand. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for this night, God. We thank you for your word.